Grace, mercy, and peace with you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this morning is Luke's account of the Sermon on the Mount. And we read in part these verses which were not a part of Matthew. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how the fathers treated the prophets. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. These are the words of our text. Well, this whole thing started as a safety net. All Saints' Day began as a catch-all. You see, in the old church calendar, each saint would get a day set aside in their honor. So the feast day of St. Mark the Evangelist, just to name a saint, is on April 25th. Mary, the mother of Jesus, gets August 15th. St. Andrew is remembered on November 30th. St. Philip and St. James share the first day of May. Now, you might not have even heard of those holidays, but I'm pretty sure there's one that you do know and remember. March 17th is, you know St. Patrick's Day. And I'm not sure St. Valentine was really a Valentine, but that's another story. Yeah, so it's good to remember people who lived their lives and in some cases gave their lives in witness to the gospel. The drawback, of course, is that eventually you run out of days. There are 365 days most years, one more in leap year, but there are way, way, way more than 366 saints. People, at least considered as such, there are more than that whose lives and witness are worth remembering. So that's why there's All Saints. In the old church calendar, the first day of November was set aside for all those other saints. All Saints was then celebrated to make sure that no one was overlooked or left out. Now, there are certain people that all Christians call or regard as saints. St. Paul, St. John, Saints Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Those saints and a handful of others still have special days of commemoration on church calendars. And when those days do show up on a Protestant calendar, they're often just, though, regarded as minor festivals. So, for example, when October 18th falls on a Sunday, St. Luke's Day gets celebrated, and the lessons for the day, maybe even the hymns and the sermon, can especially be selected in order to have something to do with Luke. But in the years that October 18th falls on a Tuesday, good old St. Luke gets overlooked. So many Christians recognize a dozen or so of these minor saints' festival days. They're days for the apostles, maybe a few other people from the New Testament, like Mary Magdalene or St. Paul. But that's pretty much it. There certainly is not a whole year's worth. Now, for centuries, All Saints was considered the second holiest day of the year, second only to Easter. It was a far more important, it was a much, much bigger deal than Christmas. In some places, it actually marked the beginning of the new year. That was the old church calendar. New calendars, calendars that you'd buy today at the mall or in a card shop, probably don't even mention or have All Saints Day printed on them. And so All Saints has become a little more than an answer to a trivia question celebrated by a few and understood by even fewer. But All Saints is not trivial. It gets recognized in the church whether the actual day, November 1st, falls on a Sunday or not. All Saints is a big deal. We celebrate All Saints because there are far too many saints to fit onto the calendar. There are hundreds of thousands of saints, millions, billions, and those are just the ones who are walking around today. You see, All Saints is a big day and a big deal because of who the saints are, and more importantly, how they got to be so saintly. A saint is not a flawless person who does all the right things, says all the right things, never doubts, never wavers in faith, never gets into temptation. For if that was the standard, then not even would the saints that we refer to as saints be considered saints at all. A saint isn't a superhero, square-jawed, steady, wearing a cape and a halo. Superheroes aren't real. Saints are. Now, we get the word saint from the Latin sanctus, which means holy one. And so a saint is a holy person. But a saint's holiness does not come from their own iron will or their unimpeachable moral character. A saint's holiness comes from the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. A saint is a weak, flawed, normal person who was dipped in, who washed in, who lives in Jesus Christ. You see, if you go to the ocean, you're going to get wet if you go in. If you're in Christ, you're holy. It's a big deal. Saints are sinful people who God decides must be holy because they are soaking in the love and the forgiveness and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Jesus died and rose in order to make them His holy ones. It's All Saints. And today we remember and thank God for the life and the ministry of all the saints. Today is a day to lift up all the saints, including you. You see, on All Saints Day, we celebrate the miracle of the holiness of you. And this day, we also remember the saints among us who have died, some of them recently, some a long time ago. But we don't remember them for their perfection. We don't lift them up because they got everything right. What we are doing today is reminding ourselves that a saintly life is a life spent in coming to grips with a holiness that we did not create and with a love and a forgiveness which we do not deserve. You know, it's not easy living the life of a saint. in our text from the Gospel of Luke. Luke tells us that those who are poor or hungry or are mourning are blessed because they will be provided for and comforted. Luke tells us also not to fight back when we are persecuted, but rather to overcome challenges with kindness and gentleness. We have the classic passage here that reminds us to turn the other cheek if we are struck. Now, I often thought that that passage meant that that's when we are dealing with sort of a direct confrontation about times when we maybe are physically harmed by another person. But in reflecting on these passages in light of All Saints' Day, I realize that they can be taken in a more metaphorical way. They are not just about times in our lives when we have been persecuted or confronted by another human being. They are about those times in our lives when we are faced with significant challenges, when we have struggled, when we have lost someone. So we can be blessed in the midst of our pain. We can overcome challenges with kindness and generosity. But this doesn't just happen by itself. It requires an action on our part. It's a choice we make. It's a choice we make to either let our lives be defined by what is missing, by the pain we have suffered, by what we have lost, or to allow our lives to be defined by our blessings, by all the gifts and the sources of joy that we have from God. Being blessed doesn't just automatically happen. It's kind of like forgiveness. It is freely offered by God, but it only has meaning in our lives if we accept it and live with gratitude for the gifts of God's grace that we have been given. You know, I'm sure we all know people who have had moments of choosing loss, of choosing pain. We've all had times, those times when we have preferred to stay in our own misery, in our own discomfort, because at least, well, that's familiar and it may make us feel like we're more in control. We've had those times when hurt or anger have gotten the better of us. We've had those times when we feel that God or the world owes us because it's entirely unfair and we shouldn't have had to suffer. The issue ultimately is not whether or not we have moments of being focused on our pain or our anger. I mean, we are right to be angry. We are right to cry out in pain when we suffer. Sometimes life is horribly unfair. We lose jobs, we fail tests in school, beloved young people die far before their time. Our bodies give out. We're faced with illness and our mortality. Sometimes life is really hard, and it's okay to be angry, and it's okay to be sad. The issue is whether or not we stay in that place, whether we choose to let our anger and our pain get the best of us. The issue is whether we choose to let them blind us to all the gifts and the blessings of God in our lives. You know, that is why I am so grateful for today and for the saints in our lives, for the people that have served as wonderful examples of faith and of God's joy in our lives. I remember loved ones who faced a great deal of loss or challenges in their life, but but never let them define them. They didn't expect their lives to go perfectly or to be devoid of suffering. And those who do not let loss define them, those who expect life to just go swimmingly, are the ones who are being warned here in Luke's gospel today. He says, "Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." We will face difficulty and challenges in the course of our lives. And it's best then to come to grips with that fact and not live with the presumption that everything is going to go swimmingly because we are Christians and we are God's people. We are not always going to be full, laughing, or spoken well of. But that does not mean that our lives will be overwhelmed by pain or challenge. No, we are a people of faith. We believe in the resurrection. We believe that the love of God is stronger than anything in this world, even death. And as the psalmist said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though their mountains tremble with tumult. You see, as a people of faith, we can choose to trust God. We can choose to seek out our blessings. We can choose to live our lives with gratitude. We can choose to follow the example of the saints in our lives, all those who have been examples of strength and hope, by choosing to define our lives by joy and blessing rather than by pain or loss. Oh, the challenges will come. And it is by holding fast to our faith, to our hope, to the ever-present reality of God's blessing and His blessing in our lives that enable us to overcome all these challenges. You see, the life of a saint isn't about wealth or popularity or comfort. It's about faith and hope, resurrection and life, compassion and love and forgiveness. The saintly life is not just about staying out of trouble. It's not passive. It's not wimpy. To live as God's holy people takes courage. Turning the other cheek is courageous. It's bold and it's tough and it's impossibly gutsy. No, it says, to whomever or to whatever, you will not win. I will not give up. Jesus died for me. He rose for me. He calls me holy. He calls me His child. I will not let go of that. And so the world needs more people whose lives are defined not by pain and loss, but by love and blessing. And the world needs more blessing. And so let us give thanks this day for all those in our lives who have showed us what it is to bless the world with our lives. And on this All Saints Day, let us go forth and be that blessing to our world, just as they. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.